day. Best wishes on your special day. Happy, happy birthday to you.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hi.
And welcome to episode 148 of Come Get Your Podcast. I'm your host, Adam.
And I've been Dustin.
And I'm Chris.
You said,
yeah, Dustin. I've been Dustin.
Did it sound like that?
No, you said it. It didn't sound like it. You said, I've been Dustin.
Is that what came out of my mouth? Like, I started to like burp as I was like, and I'm Dustin. I was like,
all right, well, this has been okay. Episode 148. It could
well, this has been 148. So, yeah.
All right, goodbye.
And I have been Dustin.
What an April Fool's joke that would be, though. Like,
and then just
happy April Fool's. Happy April Fool's and happy birthday.
Yeah, buddy.
Thank you.
Trim 26 year old man.
God, yeah, I had that realization honestly and the other day where I was like, fuck, I am closer to 40 now than 30. Shit.
Oh yeah, must be so terrible for you.
Well yeah, you know, sorry.
What's
Dustin,
the future like, Dustin?
Well, in your but, 80s it doesn't feel that way anymore.
but then also I had the same realization that I'm also in the best physical mental shape I've been in many years, so
heading towards 40 with that is pretty
sweet. That's what I'm saying. I try my best to keep a glass half full look on life, so
it's a good idea.
The world's pretty negative, man. So
not a degenerate PC gamer who shoves Mr.
No,
Pitt
I and I shower. I am a multi-platform gamer. So
yeah.
The people that are like that are strictly like, no, you know, consoles are the best, I'm a PC master race, no, all y'all shut the fuck up, play whatever game you want on whatever platform you want.
We're advanced. Like, we've evolved mostly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like those people that do feel that way eventually do, and I don't mean to say this, like, mean this negatively, but it's almost like they grow up and realize that, like, yeah, you're like, uh-oh, we're about to get canceled. No, it's just that, like, you almost, like, mature enough to be like, that's just an absurd, like, hill to die on for whatever reason. You're like, just, some people like don't prefer consoles and don't prefer controllers and stuff like that, and that's perfectly fine, but like, yeah, to like dog on a complete, like, people who play on PlayStation or Xbox versus PC, it's like, dude, just follow your bliss, man. But I mean,
yeah, whatever. Yeah, and I know some people that I know that are like PC master race as a joke, and you can,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You, there's so much more things that you can do on a PC, don't get me wrong. I've primarily been a PC gamer my whole life, I'd say. I didn't start on PC, of course. You know, we are the of the older generation. So, but I appreciate what a PC can do over a console. But at the same time, there are just some games I would rather just play on console, you know, that I can just chill and relax. You know, RPGs typically, you know, story-based games, ones I could just chill on, you know, and on my... on my, you know, couch, you know, my living room, where on my PC chair, while I'm getting a new one, like, after an hour, my ass is like, bro, you gotta walk.
Yeah.
You gotta get up and walk.
You gotta get
take
up.
A lap.
You gotta get up and walk, man.
Yeah, my knees have been hurting a lot lately.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it's... I don't know why, other than I sit a lot, but I mean, I get up plenty during the day because I am the same way where, like, I can't sit still that long. It's going to be bad for my body.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah, my knee's been fucking hurting lately.
It's a must. Like, I, especially with it getting nicer, like, what was it, Tuesday this week? I don't know. It was like freaking 50 degrees outside, which to some listeners out there in the Florida or California atmosphere, I understand that that's cold, but as a, from a Midwest boy's perspective,
wave,
that
man.
Is that's basically almost summer.
Yeah,
it's flip-flops and t-shirts.
Yeah, here this is just to give you some more context, right? Like, we were just talking about this before we started recording, like, we legitimately had a tornado warning last night.
Mm-hmm.
And
several
it was
of them.
And several of them, and it was snowing this morning when we got up, so yeah.
Welcome to the Midwest.
Yeah, dude, it
It was not snowing. At least I didn't see any snow for me.
I was up at, I mean, it wasn't big snow. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like a blizzard outside by any means. Mm-hmm. But if I looked hard enough, and I did, I could see snowflakes. It looked like rain for the most part, but when I observed closely, I saw a snowflake, and I was like, fuck.
I only got up at 8:30, so like I don't know. I could have missed it, but.
Yeah, I think yesterday it got up to 64 or 67 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Got up to 70.
Yeah, and then this morning it was 37. Yes. So,
love it. Thanks.
What a swing.
I mean, I would
keep you on your toes.
I mean, it was. I was watching The Mandalorian last night. And then at the end of it, which I have to rewatch, we're not gonna go into details, obviously, but that's when the tornado warning sirens went off, and I'm like, okay, well, I gotta rewatch this end part because I definitely missed some things. I think
again, a little distracted. Without giving anything away, the fifth episode was good, but there are a couple hard tone shifts.
Oh yeah.
In a good way.
And I had said, you know, before we started recording, to Dustin, I didn't watch any of the episodes of this season so far, but it is some of the finest Star Wars action I've seen.
Is happening in this?
Yeah. It's beautiful. The
cinematography is top-notch.
It's so beautiful. Like, it's so like, oh, shit.
There's some cool-ass shots.
Oh, yeah.
Have there been new directors every episode, similar to like...
I think so.
I know that
maybe one thing.
I knew that now. I now know that you said new directors after a second, but I thought you legit said
you nude. I said nude
directors. I'm like, I don't know. I don't. I hope not.
I've been Dustin. See ya. no, yeah, nude. Like, so, like, you know how they like. What was it with Kenobi? Like, they kept jumping to different directors, right? And then I think they did similar in Andor.
They've done that.
But they'll have, like, guests.
I think,
like,
Mandalorian, right. and I think most of the Star Wars shows have done that. Because, like, Jon Favreau directed some, Dave Filoni, yeah. Rick.
There's been returning
Bryce,
directors.
Bryce Dallas
just
Howard.
Just cycling through. Yeah.
Bryce Dallas Howard's done at least
she's
one
She's doing
season.
The next episode, by the way. I looked.
Oh, really?
Oh, and her episodes have always been a fucking...
I'm so excited. I am so excited now. I didn't know that she was getting the next one. Mm-hmm. But she's been consistently my favorite director for that show.
Yeah, man.
So, as far as this season, though, I think there might be one director who's done two episodes, possibly. But Carl Weathers has directed an episode this season.
Yeah, you were saying.
Yeah, he directed an episode last season too. Because I checked after you had mentioned it, and love it.
Trying to go to all episodes on IMDb of The Mandalorian. It's giving me shit from Megan.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it's okay. April. It's
Did
April
you mean
1st,
Megan?
Dog.
You're like, no.
So, oh, you know what?
Tread lightly on the internet today.
I wouldn't expect it for.
I guess that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, for season three of Mandalorian, it goes Cobra Kai, then WandaVision, and Malcolm and Marie, Supernova. Not like, okay, guys.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be. Legitimate here.
Thanks, Google.
You're fucking this up.
Well, what are the DVD April Fools? I think there's a DVD leaks group that like leaks out the like source code and stuff coming up, and they one of them was Meg talking about Megan, and it's like, okay,
I can't believe that today. That would be cool.
I have watched Megan. It's not bad.
I haven't watched it, but it doesn't seem that bad.
It's better than I thought it was going to be. I also watched Knock at the Cabin.
Yeah, isn't that that's on Paramount, right? Or Peacock?
It's on Peacock.
Yeah, that's
the end night.
Yeah, I heard that was good. I heard that was actually really good.
The ending is a little for me, but overall, yeah, pretty solid.
Okay. Well, so is it actually pretty good because it's M Night and you kind of go into it just being like, look, I have to prepare myself for this either being a very well put together twist of a movie or
This is where I'll put it. It is a better version of The Happening.
Okay. How
like,
much
it's
better?
It's a watchable, decent version of The Happening.
All right.
It's what I kind of wanted The Happening to be in some regards. It'll make sense if you watch it.
Okay.
It's not, I wouldn't put it up with like Sixth Sense or fucking Signs or Split. It's not up there.
Split. Gosh.
That was a good.
That was so
Split
good.
Being probably my favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie. I mean, I also love Unbreakable a what lot.
About,
but
I do too.
What about Lady in the Lake?
I don't think I've ever seen that
no.
one.
No. Not so much. Same with The Village. Misty loves The Village. I'm like, what is wrong
the
with
that? The idea of The Village is great, but yeah. like...
Exactly. It was no. just executed very yes. poorly.
The twist actually took me out of the movie. I was like, all right, well, this is boring. Yeah, I was really into it when it was like creepy, but now I'm just like...
Wasn't so, The Happening the one where is... you guys like left the movie theater or something?
No.
Oh, no, I stuck it out. Dustin might have. I can't remember.
No, so...
I know there's a story behind it, but I can't
remember. Bro, going to The Happening is one of my favorite... movie going experiences because the movie was so terrible. My buddy Zach paid for my ticket because I helped him move. So like I was out no money.
Which time though? First, second, right, third, right. fourth, eighth.
There's been a few
earlier. Right. There's a few of them. This was early on. So he paid double. So I love just certain facts that like I paid nothing for the movie. He paid twice as much as you should for that movie. And the woman sitting right to my right, I swear to God, was eating a full, like, baked potato at one point. Like, she had a full meal. So, like, at one point, like, just we're watching the movie. And then I swear at certain points, I was just looking over at this, like, she's unraveling, like, cellophane. And, like, it just, she had so much with her. It was one of my favorite movie going.
Do you think it's the same lady from the Jaguars game earlier this, like, last season?
Yeah, she might be.
Kansas City Jaguars.
Might be. But, man. One of the fucking worst movies I've ever seen in my life. That is so bad.
I went
bad.
On a
it's
date
fucking
to that
hilarious.
Movie.
Dude, after some of your stories last night, I feel like you've been to a lot of questionable movies for dates.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not married to them, probably.
Maybe that was the good test. Like, I haven't heard good things about this movie. Let's go on a date. And if you can tolerate me afterwards.
For a little bit of context. It's been The Happening and then both of the Dumb and Dumber sequel prequel things.
Oh, buddy.
Those are some choices, man.
The Happening, I have grown to appreciate how bad it is. That's where I'm at. It's a terrible movie, but it's a fun watch now.
Mark Wahlberg is the acting, what? The terrible... Yeah, dude, it's no. so... It's a choice.
Looking up The Happening on Wiki, here's a quote from Mark.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
I have never seen The Happening. No. Well, yeah, I mean, this is a surprise.
We're not convincing you to see it?
Yeah, it's not a surprise. I mean, there's a Discord and community I'm in online that found out the other day I've never seen Aliens, and it's like, what? And I'm like, guys, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Guys, welcome to the club.
I know some of you people from that. Sorry, that's not a bit. Some of you guys from that group are listening to this.
I'm like, I know, guys. I know.
Welcome.
We just watched The Grand Budapest Hotel.
I'm sorry.
That was a great movie.
I fucking hate Wes Anderson.
Do you really?
Okay.
I cannot. We'll continue, Chris. We'll get into my grift later.
Wow. I enjoy Wes Anderson.
I thought they're just interesting movies.
Dude's made the same fucking movie for the past decade and a half, and everyone jerks him off for it.
Well, I don't jerk him off. I mean, it hasn't been off.
But Edward Norton's in it.
Continue on, before I get down a really bad tunnel.
It has not been offered to me yet, though. So, but Mark Wahlberg said, he said it was a really bad movie. Fuck it. It is what it is. You can't blame me for not wanting to try to play a science teacher. At least I wasn't playing a cop or crook.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Well, that's a good point.
That is a good point. And then somehow Zooey Deschanel's in that movie. And
I see you eyeing my lemon drink. Fuck, man. That movie is so bad. What? No. What are you...
I would highly recommend if you do ever for some reason want to put yourself through it is make sure you have some sort of substance in you if you are of age.
Somebody said the chiller's essentially, what if one of our more genuinely talented directors made a big budget R-rated Ed Wood movie?
That's a good poll.
Yes.
Like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. That's The Happening.
So... on to kind of circle back to Knock at the Cabin, it is a better and watchable version of The Happening. And I enjoyed it. And Bautista does a great job.
Okay. I mean, the trailer alone, I was like, shit.
It was a good premise, but so was The Happening.
Yeah, that's fair. It's doing pretty well as far as Metacritic, like, aggregate reviews. Because, like, I understand the appeal of, like, Rotten Tomatoes and stuff, but I also know...
It's a little skewed.
Yeah, it's very skewed, and that's why I like the aggregate scores the most, because it's like, that's usually a good telling. And it's the same with video games. Like, I don't... They're, all, like...
Yeah.
Like, Kind of Funny, as an example, is a group that, like, I usually take what they say, and, like, that's probably accurate, because a lot of them, I feel, have the same taste in games of me, where I feel like I can't go to, like, Kotaku or IGN and be like, okay, this is going to be do fantastic, and then I'm like, this game sucks.
Yeah. Then you know it's probably going to be something you enjoy.
Yeah.
If they don't like it, right? It's... Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna move on from the Wes Anderson.
I feel like it's brewing inside you, Adam. As soon as I just feel like ever since I met Grand Budapest Hotel, you're just like, I gotta get this rage of Wes Anderson out.
I'm a big fan of The Life Aquatic. That's all I'll say.
I haven't seen Grand Budapest and Royal Tenenbaums. The only ones I've seen.
Somewhere after Life Aquatic and Royal Tenenbaums where it's the same fucking movie.
Well, also he just had a trailer for Asteroid City.
I know,
and it looked awesome.
The same fucking movie
awesome.
That he's made. Oh, we're awkward.
Let me guess. Silly. There's 20 big name actors.
Oh yeah, it's like Jeff Goldblum, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah,
the casting is incredible on that movie. Like, dude, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not that blinded by rage to not see it. But fuck Wes Anderson.
And here we have come into the segment of the podcast of Adam's venting. Please continue.
No, I'm moving on. So I've been playing Last of Us 1 again.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So what prompted that? Just curious.
Not the PC port.
No?
I've been having the itch well before the show came out and started. And after the show and how much care and thought went into it, I'm like, I do want to do it again.
Are you...
Also, this... Go ahead.
Are you playing just the remaster, or are you playing the remake?
I'm playing whatever the second... one was the remaster. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not playing the part one remake.
Okay.
Because I've bought the game twice already, and even though the visuals are amazing and the AI and the accessibility options are there, like, I can't do it yet for $70.
Yeah, there's sure. a lot of good quality of life improvements and graphically and stuff like that, but I completely agree with you that
you
don't have to do the remake.
When I've already bought it twice.
Yeah, which is why especially. I'm going to borrow Chris's eventually.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have the disc version. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but, you know, I'm playing on Grounded.
Yeah, that's
and
nuts,
so, like,
man.
That was also why I wanted to try it again, because I've never played it on Grounded. And our friend Ben S. Has taught, like, long time, like, play it on Grounded. It makes the game a lot better. And I really do agree. Because it forces you to make choices with your resources. And it matters a lot more because resources are immensely more scarce. This was also prompted on to replay it because our dear friend Miranda has never played in either of the games, but got super into the television show and just realized that part two isn't going to be coming out for a couple years or season two. And she wants to know what happens, and she really doesn't care about spoilers at all. Like, it's kind of, it blows my mind how little she cares about being spoiled about something.
That's so wild.
And so I was like, listen, don't spoil yourself, because there are a lot of moments that happen in this game that are better when you experience them for the first time in front of your eyes versus reading it.
Yeah, some context leading up to it.
And so, starting tomorrow, she's going to come over, and I'm going to play through part two with her. I'm going to try to make her play it, but I think she's just going to watch it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play through that so she can experience the second game and have some sort of idea of what might happen in season two.
Be prepared for in 2 years for when it finally comes out. Yeah, good call.
And again, part two is a game I've wanted to play again for a while. I'm ready to be hurt again, but I will be playing that on easy for the sake of a story.
Yeah, makes
adventure
sense.
Adventure mode.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, grounded mode on part one is really good. Like, seriously really good. Up until a point where the the enemy AI's health has been doubled, seemingly doubled, and the damage they output is also seemingly doubled, because I'm being killed in one hit by a fist or any kind of gun immediately, and I have the full health, like two health upgrades already. Like, I just streamlined those for supplements. And it was difficult but fair. Now it's difficult and really unfair at times.
Yeah.
So, which is unfortunate. But I'll soldier on and see how far I can get before tomorrow.
You said it did feel like a good balance prior to that point, though. Like, it was
amazing.
Yeah, it felt like you were in an apocalypse, right? Like, real consequences, be careful, lack of supplies.
I initially set into starting the game in part one, and like, well, I already know what happens. I beat the game 2-3 times already, and so I was like, I'm just gonna kind of mainline the story just on grounded mode and not worry about trying to find stuff. And it's like, I immediately, not too far after that, I was like, oh no, I need to actually search, because it stuff matters.
It's barren out here,
difficult to come by.
So is this so far, right? Like, so you're going to continue playing it so that it could balance itself back out again, potentially. Could.
I'm not expecting it to. I met up with Henry and Sam, and we're moving out of the safe house at night. So I'm in that section. So what, that's probably halfway?
It feels like it.
Roughly.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, there's plenty of time where it could balance out again, but oof, it is. Like, I was telling Dustin, I don't know if you were here or not, Chris, but a part I was at, I was being chased by the Humvee with a 50 cal turret, and ran through an alley, and there's a hunter just who beelines me, charges me, and I hit him about 5 feet away point blank with a shotgun to the chest, and he tanked it. And then I went to swing on him with the lead pipe I had, and his animation of punching me happened before I could land a hit with the lead pipe, and he just punched me in the face, and I died.
So...
one hit.
I mean, have you never heard of adrenaline before?
I have, and maybe... if a child is trapped underneath a burning car, like, mom will
pick
that shit up. I've seen videos on the internet of what crack can do to a human.
I know.
Maybe he had a rock.
Maybe.
Maybe he went to his local dealer and said, one crack rock, please.
That is like, a possibility.
Like an Always Sunny.
Like one crack, please.
Yeah, no, it's always crazy. It's always crazy with that kind of stuff. Because like, I feel like grounded, like those kind of difficulties, you definitely get the harder experience, but it's not really the same, you know, the other way around. And it kind of makes sense, obviously.
It does.
But in that case, what? Yeah.
But also in that same section have perfect stealth. No one sees me. The Humvee doesn't see me. But as soon as I step foot through the threshold of a door of a certain building, every AI knows exactly where I am.
I know exactly what scene you're talking about, and I agree with. Even on an earlier, easier difficulty, that shit is bullshit. Like, I snuck around perfectly, but because of this invisible line I crossed, he's right there. He's over there. Go get him. No, I snuck around.
Yeah, and with what's coming still in the game, you know it's only going to get way, way more intense.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I guess, so that's like the exact opposite problem you had with God of War, right? Because you did that on the highest difficulty, and didn't you say like the beginning was tough, and then at a certain point you just you got powerful enough, and you were like, boom, okay, now I'm in it. That's a little disappointing. But again, I mean, I guess that's pretty tough. Like,
you can upgrade your weapons and stuff like that, but only the rifle has, at least that I've unlocked so far, only the rifle has a damage upgrade.
Yeah, there's the Magnum you get later that you can get armor piercing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right.
The Diablo, I think it's called.
And even with an armor piercing and damage upgrade to the rifle, I can't do that until I have 4 toolboxes at least, and I've only come across 2. or three.
Man.
So like it is rough right now, and but we'll see how far I get.
I believe in you.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna be
played harder so. Games.
And I mean, it was nice to kind of come to this too, because you know it's a familiar, as terrible as it is, but with things that happen in the story. But I did also beat Breath of the Wild a week ago. Yeah, and I would. That's a good game. You should go play that. And I was telling Katie last night. And I don't know if you heard or not, but like, definitely go if you restart it or even pick it back up. Go mainline getting 13 hearts.
Do that first and then explore? And
go get the Master Sword.
Yeah, it makes the game way more enjoyable. You know,
you will be able to get through a lot more and a lot faster.
I know I said it before previously on one of our episodes, but like that's the part of Breath of the Wild I hated the most was the weapon durability.
Yeah.
Which is coming back for the sequel.
I'm not surprised. Yep. Because some people...
No.
I think a majority probably did like it. I just was like, ugh. I don't want
it,
this.
It feels like they're at least kind of meeting players halfway with the. I don't know if you guys watched the showcase, 10-minute showcase.
I didn't, but one of the taglines I did read the other day was people concerned that this was just Breath of the Wild 1.5. Your concern is gone. This is a game. This is its own game.
It's still there for some people, but I mean, like, it's the same leap from Ocarina of Time to Majora's Mask. That's what I would compare it to. But you have a new power ability thing, and you can fuse stuff together, and you can make like all kinds of contraptions and vehicles, which is pretty cool. But you can also stick together weapons. So the meme one right now is like someone that they had a spear, and then they took one of the pitchforks you can find in the game and fused them together, and it's like this 20-foot long pole with a fork on the end of it.
Back scratcher.
And then another one was they took a simple stick and like were hitting enemies with it, you know, breaking like 2-3 hits. And then they fused it together with like a not a boulder, but like a small boulder, I guess.
That's a nice and boulder.
The durability went way up. So I think they're kind of meeting us halfway.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, especially early in the game when you're not used to it. And like, again, it took me three times to really like for Breath of the Wild to really
hit the point,
kick in with me. Cause it's like,
and I was 4, I think.
My biggest complaint about Breath of the Wild is that to me, it wasn't a Zelda game. Like, and I know you haven't played a lot of Zelda games before, but like it was a far different way of a Zelda game than they had before. Like, and I felt it was more Sky. I'm like, is this Skyrim? They're trying this shit. And it's like, I don't want that in my Zelda game, in my idea of a Zelda game, but I'm so grateful I got through it, and
it's worth it.
I got through my gripes. Cause I when it clicked with me, man, I remember telling you guys that like, I was so in deep with Breath of the Wild. Like I was playing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what I basically did for like 3 weeks. Yeah. And yeah, it is definitely worth it. But yeah, go mainline hearts and then get the Master Sword and you'll make your life a lot easier.
And what you can play now too with the Switch Online, because it just got put into the Game Boy Advance, is Metroid Fusion, which is one of the best Metroid games. Yeah. I've been playing that in my off times of between Dead by Daylight and Resident Evil 4.
As your palate cleanser?
It's kind of my palate cleanser, or, you know. And that's it's one of the best Metroid entries out there. And it plays really well on Switch, not surprisingly. You know, and they have, like, they have, like, the save state capture
point. I mean, you never know, but, yeah, that is nice to hear.
Yeah. I mean, it's their online, it's their emulators, you know, their virtual consoles, which have, I've never had a problem with any of them, truthfully.
I haven't either.
And I got to tell you, I mean, I know we use our friend Carlos's plan, but Nintendo has like the best value when it comes to how much their online stuff costs and what you get. Granted, their online playing with people is not good, but
needs some rework.
Everything that you get with it is pretty damn good.
For single player stuff, it's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll also kind of riff off that a little bit, that I've heard some rumors, because the $1 Xbox Game Pass stuff is being taken away. I've seen some pretty credible people saying that there's going to be like a family plan for Xbox Game Pass now coming soon, which does make sense.
Yeah,
it does.
If that happens,
Good value.
Let's collaborate.
We should talk.
Yeah, we can look into that.
Because there are some good games on Xbox Game Pass,
yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Atomic Heart is one I want to, eventually I want to play.
Sorry, which one?
Atomic Heart.
Okay, sorry,
that's
didn't hear
that's
you.
Like Bioshock-esque, yeah. Robots, mm-hmm. Russia. Yeah.
If Russia won, right?
I don't know.
I can't remember. But it is Russia.
It's in Russia. I know that.
Yeah.
There's already a sequel being planned because it did so well.
Yeah, it was. I was watching some streamers play it when I was at work. And it was just funny. Like, I just thought it was hilarious, and it was definitely like Bioshock-esque, which I love Bioshock. So
yes,
hell yeah.
The only thing that turned me off of the game is the super horny vending machine.
Turned you off? Turned me on personally.
I mean, hey, it's to each their own. You know? Obviously.
Me wants new Snoo. I'd be like Fry in Futurama. It's not real. It's real to me.
Lucy Lubot.
It's real to me.
It's real. Yeah. But no, it's Metroid Fusion was really good. Highly recommend it. Honestly, Metroid Dread, obviously, if you've never played Metroid Dread, that came out
two years ago. I saw you were playing a Metroid game, but it would cut off the subtitle part, so I didn't know which one you were. I assumed you were playing Dread.
Either or, it's a banger. Let me tell you.
That is true.
But I have been. I did buy Resident Evil 4 Remake, and I am taking my time with it. I really am. And holy shit, again, Capcom just fucking knows how to do a remake. Oh fuck!
I've heard very good things.
First of all, let me tell you about Leon S. Kennedy. He can tell get me. It. Like that dude is handsome as. I'm speechless. But besides that, though, gameplay is great. They have the organization in the chest in your case again that you can do, which is so silly, but it's just there's just something about it in your mind that's like, you don't have room for this, and then it opens up your case. And you're like, I fucking have room. Hold on, let me do some Tetris shit real quick. That could fit. It's going there.
Let me reorganize this.
Tarkov took that 100%. Like, no doubt they took that in terms of organization for your stash and backpacks and stuff.
There is a really good What Happened on Resident Evil 4.
Super good.
Watch
Would
that.
Highly recommend it.
I watched that yesterday. Great timing, and obviously they do. Those are hit or miss for me sometimes, depending on the game.
Sure.
But when they fucking are hitting, they're hitting.
Matt McMuscles knows what's
up. Yeah, he's good. But the shooting is great. The finding the small little mini games are great, like the shooting gallery that they have, which I didn't ever do in the original because I just thought it was silly, but this one like makes it fun and like worth it.
Okay. Important.
And the stuff that they explain.
I've heard it's scarier than the original version, because the original 4 is more action-y.
If you get swarmed by those fucking villagers, you're dead.
There's some more horror elements to this one I've heard they've added. It might be you haven't gotten to the part yet.
Because I'm sure the castle, like, I'm literally right before in the
OG. That's what I heard. That's one of the places I heard that it gets real scary.
I'm literally right before, I just got Ashley from the church. And this is just from the OG 4. Because it's all very similar, you know? Mm-hmm. I fought the big man.
Yep.
And I'm literally about to like try to escape.
Gotcha.
I'm still fairly at the beginning, but with that said, like, dude, this game seems like it's gonna be massive. And 4 was pretty big of a game. And
it was.
And in scope compared to,
especially for GameCube.
Yeah, especially for GameCube, yeah. In scope with like the 2 remake, which if you didn't know what you're doing, the 2 remake is long, but also if you know what you're doing, you could beat the remake of 2 in like an hour almost.
Right.
And 3 was pretty short, but in hindsight, those are also short games, you know, going back and you know, to the recesses of my mind. But this is gonna be a pretty good game, and it's fun. And I'm honestly, I was playing it before we started recording, and I'm like itching to jump back in.
I saw data miners got in there and said that the files for the Ada Wong DLC are in the game.
That's what's up.
So that should be coming at some point too. And then was it yesterday or maybe next week? It's mercenary mode time.
I don't know. I haven't looked into it, but that'd be cool. Or
professional mode.
Well, yeah, because like there was this Ada Wong Separate Ways, I think was the DLC. It would make sense for them to do it. Yes, that was the DLC.
The files are in the game, so it should happen at some point.
I've had a couple people ask me what I think about Ada Wong's voice actor and stuff yet. I haven't ran into her yet, so I don't know.
Okay.
But apparently it's not that good, but we'll see.
I've heard it's not that good, but I've also heard somebody who has said that it's more than fine and they like the take.
Yeah.
So it'll just be a to each their own type situation.
Now, we all know that there are some Ada Wong simps out there. I get it. So maybe they're just, you know, the fanboy in them's like.
That's kind of the vibe I got.
Man. Yeah. Messing with Ada Wong. Yeah.
Put more clothes on her. Man,
you got it. Oh my God,
the gangsters man. From.
I'm going to order Mr. Pibb and DiGiorno's.
Man. Get that soap away from me.
But I'm glad you're enjoying it, because I do think I haven't purchased any of the other remakes. I think this one I will, though.
Eventually. I can't recommend two more, honestly.
I know.
Two is so great. Three, if you want to, I liked three as well, but it's pretty short. And that's pretty, you know, has some good moments in it, and it's got some spookiness to it for sure, because Nemesis is just terrifying in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But two, I think that is a banger.
Eventually. I'm going to do this Last of Us stuff, and then it's going to be about time for Jedi Survivor.
And then it's going to be Tears of the Kingdom.
I'm going to wait on Tears of the Kingdom, because
you're probably gonna be
you know that's going to be a time suck? You just you know it?
Not kind of, but more so, I want to see how it runs.
That's what my mind was going to. Can you know? Is it going to run smoothly right off the bat, or is there going to be a couple of, you know, patches?
As I brought up before, even Breath of the Wild gets a little choppy in some areas, and it's noticeable. So it's not bad. It didn't really take away from the game experience at all, but like, it's very noticeable. So with all the stuff that the new one's supposed to have, I'm gonna wait and see.
On the Switch,
So I kind of want to wait, or I. Death Stranding is still on my to-do list, so I think after Last of Us and Jedi Survivor, or in between, that's going to be my game.
I hope I'm on your to-do list as well.
You're always there. Come on.
Thank you. I need that reassurance sometimes. Thanks.
Yeah. I just need to hear it.
I know it, but like if you don't hear it for a while, you're just like, I'm probably not on that list anymore, am I?
So I'm aware that Katie has been playing Cyberpunk again after completing GTA 5 again.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay. Katie, there's some new games out there you should play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the molars. Come on.
Hey, man.
What has Witcher been happening?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Still a little farther. I mean, again, spoilers, but again, this is an older game. So ran into Ciri, saved Sweet. Ciri.
Okay.
Fought at Kaer Morhen.
Yep.
I don't know if it's good or bad that I got most of my friends. I didn't get Dijkstra. I don't know if he's ever possible. Although I was kind of a dick to him.
You'll find out.
Oh, well, I mean, he didn't show up for that. And then later, I was going to save Philippa, right? Mm-hmm. I think he had. And I was really not nice to him again. I think I snapped his kneecap in half. So I have no idea what's going on there. I don't know what that's going to lead to, but I'm running around with Ciri now, making some choices. We took out some witches, the three hags, and what's his name? The other dude. It starts with an I.
God, it's been
the
so
armored
long.
Dude. I can't remember, but
I know who you're talking about. I cannot remember his name for the life of me.
Yeah, I literally just took him out, but so I'm like just past that. So I'm what is it? I think I had to go do, I found the elf. I can't fucking remember his name off the top of my head.
Oh, Siri's friend?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did the something through time and space or whatever, jumped through a bunch of portals I had to swim through. Mission. Yeah, that was cool. So I did. So I've done all of those, and now I'm on the Siri portion of that before okay. I jump to the next part, I'm pretty sure.
I got you.
Yeah, so I've gotten to jump pretty since the last time we recorded. Like I've gotten to chunk through a bit more of that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, man. I'm having a lot of fun with this good. Fucking game.
Love to hear it.
Yeah, man. Like you said, it after, well, Novigrad, really. Yeah. Or after, whatever, at the beginning. But, man, yeah. That game changes and just fucking takes off. So.
And it's like, it, honestly, the same thing with Breath of the Wild for me. Okay. Like, the
about
beginning,
that, you'll feel it.
It's, yeah, you'll hit a moment if you just push through. You'll hit mm-hmm. a moment and you're like, okay, it'll click. Because I know it will for you and Katie, honestly. Because, yeah. I mean,
you just know
Chris knows what I'm talking about.
it'll catch you, right?
Once you can start just getting stockpiling some higher tier weapons mm-hmm. and stuff, and you'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah, at some point that's going to happen. I know I'd like to do that before Tears of the Kingdom comes out, but that may not happen prior to then, right? But
yeah, well, you got to play Breath of the Wild first. You know what I mean? Like, then Tears of the Kingdom.
That's what we're talking about. Like, I want to finish Witcher, and I feel like I'm gonna do the DLCs and everything. So like but then I also want, you know, Jedi. So
what I'm saying is that there's no rush to
yeah.
it. You know, yeah, exactly. You know, you'll get to it on your time, you know, and I'm glad you're not rushing through The Witcher, truthfully.
I was like, definitely finish that first.
Exactly. And I want to get through it all because, yeah, and that's the same thing, right? Because, like, I know, Chris, I was talking to you, and it's like you were playing a little bit of Hogwarts, and it's like, I kind of want to check that out maybe when it goes on sale, but it's like, again, one of those things. It's like, I'm not even going to buy it.
I know you guys would like
I finish.
I know you guys would love Hogwarts, honestly.
Oh, for sure.
But there's just so many games out there, you know? And I feel I feel like we're finally, at least for me, I can speak to myself that I've, like, you know, reached an age where it's like, fuck, I really don't. I used to be somebody who used to play, you know, buy games and, like, beat them quick. And it's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What have I become? Yeah. Like, I took my time with Dead Space. I took my I barely even played Hogwarts that much, even though I love it. And I'm taking my time with Resident Evil, and I'm like,
yep.
Who am I?
Yeah. What happened? Hey, man, it happens. You have a busy or stressful day at work, and it's like, man, do I want to play The Witcher, but I can't give it the mental energy it deserves. I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's what games like The Show and shit are for, right? But
those palate cleansers.
I haven't bought that.
Yeah, and then I'm about to say the new those are those palate cleansers. You know, we talked about.
Yeah, exactly. You just need something that's almost like a mindless, just keep me busy. I want to unwind in game, but I don't want to have to invest full of, you know, all of my mental energy on paying attention fully to this. But man, when I can dedicate that time to it, man, it's like a time suck. Like, hours just go by. Mm-hmm. And you're like, Jesus Christ, I've been playing fucking 4.5 hours. I'm like, Jesus. So that game's super fun. I can already tell I'm going to replay it. I already know it, and I haven't even beaten it yet.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, with as much as you have played Cyberpunk, like, yeah, you'll definitely.
Exactly. I feel it. I'm like, yeah, dude, I want to make all these other choices mm-hmm. and see what happens. Like, I just know. I'm curious what my choices are going to lead me to be honest. But
my favorite part in talking with Katie last night was, she was like, I beat GTA 5's main story again. I was like, oh, cool. Did you, like, do any, like, different, you know, explore any new areas, get some different weapons? And she's like, nope.
No.
And I was like, and then she's like, and I started replaying Cyberpunk again. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, are you doing different, like, faction or playthrough choices? She's like, nope, the exact same stuff. What the
fuck is no. No, she, I've already seen her make different choices.
Oh, like, she lied to me then.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, again, I guess at this point, she's beaten it. Jesus, I don't know. This would be like her third time, fourth time. So yeah, like on this playthrough, like, yeah, I think she's probably going to make some random different choices. But she is trying a Netrunner build for the first time, like
that,
a full
Netrunner is so
hacker.
Fun.
So it is already different. That's like, she's already building it different.
Okay.
But
she didn't
so
tell
she's
me
never
that
done
yesterday.
That. Right. I was like, she's never done that. And I was like, oh, it's pick another ability too, because you're going to get bored after a while, man. Mm. It's just, you're a god. It's impossible to beat you at a point, you know? Yeah. So
that's okay.
But
So I was hoping, because I've heard some pretty credible rumors that we are getting a Skies of Arcadia remake. Potentially. And a Metal Gear Solid 3 remake.
I'm crying.
That's supposedly coming out next year.
If this isn't true, I'm going to cry.
I know. And I was hoping we would see some stuff at E3 coming up soon. And that, of course, is not happening anymore because E3 has been canceled. So maybe Summer Games Fest then. But, oof. I think we can all kind of agree that this is probably the nail in the coffin for E3. It's done.
Yeah, because like this was supposed to be their like big comeback, right? Like after the pandemic and being like, hey, we're back, like a huge big thing, and like not being able to garner enough
interest.
Yeah, to even hold it. Like,
well, this I don't think it's public interest, because I think the general public likes those kind of events. I speak for myself. I would have tuned in for sure. But like we talked about before we started recording, it's your the big three: Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo pulled out. They do their own thing. And then you have the smaller companies. You know, now like Bethesda is part of Microsoft, but then Ubisoft can just lump their stuff in with these big companies, you know, announcements. And then Adam, I think you said like Summer Games Fest is right around the corner. There you go. You know, and it's just like the E3 is done. You know, I think he
murdered E3.
He did. Well, he took over and was like, "Hey, I can do this better."
Some would say Greg Miller murdered E3. You know, they banned him.
Well, since Greg Miller losing his press pass, having it stolen, and then not being allowed to be back in the building because they blamed him, even though they gave it to somebody else, is not a good look. But with their powers combined.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad, obviously, because, you know, there's a lot of people who will not be working there now, and it will probably affect a lot of people that, you know, aren't already CEOs or, you know, upper management of companies. And that sucks, but at the same time, and like, it's been a long time coming, because they never really adapted to anything.
Yeah, and I mean, it is a little sad, right, that you're like, no, like something that we used to look forward to every year is going away. But then, like you said, like it's not like we're not getting information and we're not getting these exclusive.
Everyone's just doing it on their own.
Everybody's doing it on their own. Yeah. So like we're still getting the information. We're still getting those trailer releases and like world premieres, and like we still get all that stuff. So it's like, I don't know. It'd feel different if like all of a sudden we were in the dark and it's like, when are we going to know about some of these things? But like, yeah,
part of me wants that. Just go back to like magazine article release.
Make it a subscription.
Yeah. I mean, you know what?
Game Informer.
It's the same thing with like demos and games. Like, I know I said this before, but like the Doom demo, like 2016's Doom, I wasn't sold on it. You know, I was like, oh, I don't know. And then they're like, we're releasing a demo of it. I'm like, I'll play it.
This game's
great.
Changed your mind. Yeah.
That literally made me buy the game. And it's just like, let's have more of that. Like, even the Resident Evil 4 remake, I knew I was going to get it anyway, but the chainsaw demo they did was fucking great. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this is a buy.
Yeah.
And it just solidified that.
Solidify your choices.
And even like Diablo 4's open beta, you know, this past weekend, I didn't play a lot of it, but it played enough of it to be like, this is going to be good. You know, I just had the tip of Diablo 4 and I was like, this is good.
Will it fix things?
Bro, I don't know, man. I don't know. That's a big ask.
My favorite headline, if you will, has been from a couple guys who are called Castle Super Beast.
Those are words.
One of them, Pat stares at, I think, on Twitch, and the other one's Wooly Versus. But Pat played it, and he was like, "Uh-oh, it's good, guys." Like, Blizzard did a good thing. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of people. I don't know if I've read a bad thing about Diablo 4 yet, but granted, it's still early. It was only through Act 1, but anything I played, I didn't see the warning signs like Diablo Immortal. That warning signs were fucking right there in your face.
Right there.
Yep. Immediately. You know? Exactly. It was very apparent.
Act two, introduction of the auction house. What?
But also,
they bring the auction house dude. Back.
But also, I mean, like Diablo Immortal was made in collaboration with NetEase, who is notorious for they're notorious for microtransactions and like even like right now, I play a lot of Dead by Daylight still, and they just like kind of did like a reworking of Dead by Daylight mobile. People are like, oh my god, I want to go play this. They did all this stuff back, and I'm like, you guys, this is not the same company. There is reasons they're doing this and able to do this. So, and then people are like, we're going to play mobile. And I'm like, I can't. I'm not good a mobile luck. Game person, but have fun.
Sorry, guys.
I don't know. I think it's the old man in me that's like, those whippersnappers, those youths.
Yeah. We'll see. Like, I watched a lot of stuff from the Diablo 4 beta, and it does look really good. I'm going to wait to see how they monetize it first. And I don't know if I'm there yet. But it does look really good. Like, credit where credit's due. Like, for a beta, they killed it.
Yeah.
I think one of the other good quotes I heard from the conversation I was talking about from the Castle Super Beast guys was, it's really easy to boycott something when you don't like what they're putting out.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, that's so true. I had a hard time, you know, I know with all the Blizzard stuff going on, like I was still like loving Overwatch, and it was really hard for me to be like, oh, I love
thankfully,
this game.
They kind of fixed that for you themselves.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I've been dabbling back in Overwatch 2 here and there, but it's still not like how I loved Overwatch 1. Like,
right.
It's good. It has its moments, but I think it's similar to. I said this to somebody the other day. I was like, first person shooter games are like, I will dive in and pretty hard for a few weeks, and then I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and then you take a break. I'm good. Yeah,
I got my fill.
Yeah, that's okay. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Diablo 4. And also, like, it looks ever increasingly likely that the Microsoft Blizzard thing will go through.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will be a good or bad thing, because there are valid points for both sides of that.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that they seemingly kind of, at least when it comes to Diablo, kind of...
And riding
well,
the ship.
I think yeah. I think they really, especially with the reception of Diablo Immortal, like granted Diablo 4 is, but who knows how long it's been in the works for, right? You know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the reception of Diablo Immortal was so negative.
It was not good.
Excuse me. And don't get me wrong. The core gameplay of Diablo Immortal, because I did play it a little bit, was fun. In itself, it was fun. However, you are hit with so many microtransactions so fast, and it's just ludicrous, and not the rapper, that
damn,
yeah, I think they really had to take Diablo 4 and make it great.
We can't fuck
they
up.
Killed it. Especially with like the Warcraft 3 Reforged
fiasco, yeah, exactly like that, and Overwatch 2 and Diablo
and
Overwatch,
they needed a win,
and Overwatch 2
they needed a win.
Overwatch 2, don't get me wrong, it's getting better. It didn't start well.
That's good.
But it is getting better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was essentially just Overwatch 1.5. It was just a patch, basically. Like, anyway.
If there is any kind of hope for when it comes to the auction house stuff, they did remove it from 3, correct? Eventually.
Yeah. I mean, they removed it pretty quick from 3, actually. Like,
and the dude who implemented the auction house and came up with the idea for the auction house no longer works with Blizzard, so I don't know if it was on his own accord or if he was voluntold to leave, but he doesn't work there anymore, so
everybody hates it.
I don't think it would make an appearance in 4, but you never know. There's still, like I said earlier, there's a lot of ball game left when it comes to that. So when's the full release?
June, I believe. June.
Okay, that's right. I couldn't remember if it was late April or June.
It was like June 11th or something. Or
okay. No, June 6th, like obviously. That. June 6th. You know, 6-6. No, I did the math on this one time. You know, because it's 6-6-23. 2 times 3 is 6. So 666.
Oh, shit.
Math.
Well, that is math.
In your face.
Can't.
And also, I just want this to be known. And
can't deny it.
You said it earlier as we started to talk about Diablo 4, but obviously, if these rumors of Skies of Arcadia don't come to fruition, because I've been through this fucking like 7 years ago.
I know. We've been through it for Metal Gear Solid 3.
I'm literally going to be angry.
Don't give me hope.
I'm going to... Because this is what happened. Somebody sent me like a picture of like About You But Video Games. I think I put it in. Yeah, I put it in our Casper Van Dien's Discord server, but it's like I did that, and that's where I found the news, because I was like, it was like one of your favorite series, and I was like, Skies of Arcadia, I've talked about it 1,000 times, I love it, it's so great. And then I searched for a picture of it, and that's when it was there, and I'm like, don't. And this wasn't like this wasn't like news sites like the video game news.net. this was like fucking legit sources, and I'm like, don't do this, please. Yeah. Please don't do this to me.
That's the one thing about the Metal Gear one, too, is because it's the dude, the CEO of VGC is saying that it's probably going to be happening within the next year.
Don't do.
I know. I might it's awful. I might
cry. And people are, and then there's people talking about like, well, I want a remake of it. No, I don't want a remake of it. It was perfect. Just remaster it. That's all I want. And also do Metal Gear Solid 4, because I would love to play that again. And I can't.
Having never played it, I would like to play it. But if we get 3, I'm on board. Fine. I'm good with that, because that's my favorite one.
3's a banger.
Still never played that one either. But that's the one where you walk through the creek right at the end, or the river.
It's a, although, yeah.
Because I've level. Heard about
that's
it.
That's where you do, like, the camo and survival and eat food.
You have to eat, yeah.
It was so legit.
The Lali Lule Lo. It's a good one.
That was after the second one where they pulled the switcheroo on you.
It's after that one. And it's like peak. It's peak. Set like from the lens of Japanese creators looking at Americana and spy thrillers from the 60s and 70s and just putting it into a video game.
100%.
It's so good. Yeah, I will be extremely disappointed if Metal Gear doesn't come out, and I will be extremely disappointed for you about Skies of Arcadia, because I know you've been wanting that for a long time.
I mean, honestly, I could go play Skies of Arcadia right now. Don't get me wrong. I have a GameCube.
You could.
I have the GameCube version of Skies of Arcadia Legends, where they did a lot of good tweaks, added some additional content, and made it so, like, because played it on Dreamcast, random battles were, it was out of control how many random encounters you got, and they tweaked it down a little bit in the GameCube version, but it is truly one of the greatest RPGs that I remember. And it's not surprising, you know, looking into this, because the producer of Skies of Arcadia, Riko Kodama, also was one of the original producers of Phantasy Star. So it's like,
that makes so much sense to me.
Look at this now. How about this?
Yeah.
And she also died last year. Rest in peace.
She did. Yeah. I dabbled with Phantasy Star, but really didn't get into it until college, because a friend of mine had several of them and a Dreamcast and a bunch of other stuff, so we played all those.
Well, and I know I said before, but keep in mind, I'm talking about the original 4. Anything after the original 4, I don't care. It's lost on me.
It's okay.
Well, they went online, and it went a different direction, different story.
It did, and we'd play. I played the online one with my friend in his room, but he also had the original ones too. So I mean, okay. You know, we did that.
Nice.
Well, we're at an hour.
We're at an hour.
Time for. How are you guys feeling? Ready?
Oh, okay. How I feel? I want to go play Resident Evil 4. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, then what time is it?
Tweet Corner. 148 episodes in, and I still not original.
Panic just before you do it.
So we didn't answer fully one of Jeff's questions from the last episode, because we didn't click the image and expand it. Also, separately, Jeff, why would I think to do that? You know, I don't.
On PC.
It had every question but the last one. Like, I thought that was it. I thought it was more funny that the last one was cut off. It was like, yeah. It was so absurd that we can't ask it. But then I clicked the image and expanded it based on your polite encouragement. He didn't call me lazy or anything. And the question is, the most absurd is, all right, here's an extremely absurd would you rather question. Would you rather have spaghetti for hair or sweat melted cheese? Sweat melted cheese. I'd lick it. I'd lick my sweat all day.
I see. I initially lean melted cheese, but spaghetti hair is.
Spaghetti hair feels like it's much easier to deal with.
If it grows at the same rate of my actual hair.
Right. And also, is this like cooked spaghetti, or are we talking?
And also,
like,
is it every hair?
Oh my God.
There you go. Hold on. See, you're thinking about just the top of your head. You got a lot of hair.
Yeah, all you're right. Your body, bud. Fuck.
Yeah. Good old spaghetti ass.
Yeah, like my spaghetti beard.
At the very least. I could get antiperspirant medical grade shit.
Fuck, man.
See, if you had melted cheese, you could be one of those people, you know, who, traditionally speaking, that food people are the people who lay down on a table and just have sushi laid all over their nude body.
Yeah.
It could be like
I'd be a standing fondue pot. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly. Like a charcuterie man.
Yeah, dude. Come get your charcuterie.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, I see you're eating a pretzel. You want a dip?
All right, Chris has converted me. I'm gonna go sweat melted cheese.
Oh man. Welcome.
Is that Gouda?
And then we got three more from Jeff allegedly Jeff. His first one, he would like to know. At CGY Podcast. If you could place any object on the surface of Mars purely to confuse NASA scientists, what would it be? # Tweet Corner.
A statue of the final boss from Inside.
Oh, gosh. I was thinking like the Maker Mark from Dead Space.
I was thinking that obelisk that was in the desert for a bit. Remember that during the pandemic?
Oh, God. I forgot about that.
Yeah, dude. What if that was just on Mars and we were like, wait a minute.
Hold on.
The alien that would right. Everybody would freak the fuck out.
I mean, I remember that, like, the almost perfectly, like, door-shaped thing in a rock in Mars? People were freaking out about that. But then once, like, a clear picture came up, it was like, guys, no. Okay, we're fine.
It's fine.
That's okay. What if there was just, like, an American flag or, like... Just pick some, like, I don't know, just pick any country and just place their flag.
I think they're on the robots, right?
That's true.
Well, I guess that's true. Are those stickers or actual flags?
I thought one of them had an actual flag.
Oh, I guess I didn't know that.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
It'd be hilarious also. If it's just like, you know, post with a flag and you're
yeah,
just like.
Right. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Because, yeah, that would be nuts.
New Zealand. And you're like, what?
Yeah, what the hell?
When? But I like the obelisk or something like that. It would just people would like freak.
It's just the Dr. Manhattan logo.
I would have a bumper sticker, and it would be Bush Quail 92.
That would.
All right, I think that wins.
Yeah, dude. People would be like, what?
I don't know why I doubted that. I was like, I thought Trump 2024, and I'm like, F that guy. And
Bush
I was
Quail.
Like, what was fun? Who's that one potato guy? Oh, Dan Quayle.
Potato guy.
Misspelled potato. Well, you ain't doing it anymore.
Bush Quayle 92.
Well. It's just a DVD copy of The Happening.
Director's cut with commentary.
Oh, man.
It's got the deleted scenes.
Well,
there you go.
Bush Quayle 92. Jeff would also like to know, at CGY Podcast, if you could create a new holiday, what would it be called and how would people celebrate it? # Tweet Corner.
Called Election Day.
Oh,
you can go vote.
That would be fan fucking tastic.
Should be a national holiday for real.
Agreed.
For real. Video game day, officially. Everyone gets a day off to play video games.
This should be video game day.
It should be. Shit, those are both two very good answers.
Because I saw a meme yesterday on Reddit that, like, it was a tweet, and somebody was like, my man literally took the whole day out to play video games. Who am I even with? And I'm like, somebody who's practicing their mental health and self-care.
Yeah, man.
Let them be. Thank you. Right.
Let them cope with their stress how they will.
Right?
Man, I don't know. I just fuck work holiday, and it lasts an entire week. We'll say 2 weeks. And you just don't work for 2 weeks. And that's it. It'd be so fantastic.
Yeah, it honestly would be.
And if you're a workaholic, sucks to suck, man. Sorry. Yeah,
if you're Leslie Knope out there, you know.
Take a fucking retail, break at one point.
You got to take it in staggered shifts.
Yeah, not everybody can take off at one time. Man.
But you still get your 2 weeks.
I do like Election Day and Video Game Day, though.
Election Day is, I think it just comes down to a marketing problem, because if you called that shit Patriot Day, do you know how many motherfuckers will be on board with that?
Right.
And it literally is you being a patriot doing your civil duty. Like, come on, guys. It's that easy. You're welcome.
No, we got to argue just to argue.
Adam literally hit the Staples Easy button, you sons of bitches.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't want Patriot Day?
America Day.
Not a patriot? Not a patriot? Sucks.
America Day. They didn't love that.
It's too
bad
for you.
Jeff would also like to know, as you do a podcast, what are your favorite April Fool's jokes over the years? # Tweet Corner. Overwatch does googly eyes on their characters on every April Fool's, and it just fucking makes me crack up.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so great.
I am a big fan of, I forget how long ago it was now, but they made someone, I think it was IGN, made a really legit looking trailer for a Zelda movie, and the internet lost its shit.
Oh yeah, the Netflix trailer, right?
Yeah, and then it came out, it wasn't real, like, you know, it was April Fool's, like, that it got the internet.
People got so upset.
It's like a 7-minute long thing too.
That is impressive. I don't really even remember that. There's not a lot of April Fool's jokes that I remember, so I'll just go with the one that I, you know, is most recent in my mind, and that is Alex this morning immediately getting got about Elder Scrolls Online. Like, he completely forgot that it was April April 1st. Just again, immediately. He was the first one, just got immediately.
My favorite part, and I'm gonna quote exactly what he said.
Yes.
And it was, first thing this morning, I opened up a news article about changes to PvP in Elder Scrolls Online, which he plays more than anybody I personally know. And got to the end of the article, and it was like, April Fool's, and he's like, I hate this stupid holiday. And then I had quoted him and said, well, ... And he's like, oh, did you also fall for this, Chris? No. Your boy knows this day pretty well.
Yeah.
And is very prepared every day. Because I've already had numerous people come to me and say, ha ha, you're a fool. Happy birthday. Thanks. Yep.
Yep.
I've heard that a thousand times.
It's.
And again, little on him.
It is. Yeah. It's a little on you, bud. He's not going to listen to this. It's a little on you.
No, he won't. Somebody tell him.
You already did.
But someone who's listening can tell.
It's so funny how people like will forget about things like that. But like when it's your birthday, it's like, dude, this is my life. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah. Somebody today was like, I gotta work, and they work in retail, and it's like, I can't wait for people to tell these jokes. I they're sarcasm, and I'm like, welcome literally to my life.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to my life. Like, I have a much lighter version of that when anybody's just like, what day is St. Patrick's Day on? It's like the 17th.
Yep.
Like, I know that because it's the day after my birthday. Yep. Like, I know what day it is. Like, I will never forget that. I'm going to go out to bar on my birthday. No, probably not.
No.
Let's just not do that.
No, probably. Probably not.
More than likely, I'm out there with a bunch of assholes.
I think mid 90s, 95, 96. Do you guys remember that Taco Bell like published a bunch of ads saying that they bought the rights to the Liberty Bell?
No, no.
To help with like the national debt or something like that.
The Taco Liberty Bell.
Let me see if I can find.
No, I got it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. In 1996, Taco Bell took out newspaper ads saying it bought the Liberty Bell in an effort to help the national debt, and like it got people in Congress.
That's fucking hilarious. I don't remember that. I vaguely remember something about like the Big Ben going digital or something.
That's a good one. That's a good one too.
Now that you mentioned that, I was like, hey, wasn't there something about the Big Ben going digital?
And people that was like,
what? You're like, dude.
We probably could like look back, definitely like early age of the internet, that kind of shit probably fooled a lot of people. And even like in 96, obviously that was probably like a newspaper like ad, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
it was.
Nowadays it's harder, obviously, you know.
It is.
But yeah, I'm you know, going off of memory, I can't, you know, think of really good April Fool's pranks, but I'm sure they're out there that were like,
but then like
bangers.
There's another one. I think it was in the 1950s or 1960s, and the BBC published something about an area of Denmark where spaghetti grew on trees, and like pictures of like people had just taped or adhered a bunch of spaghetti to a bunch of trees and like are shown like cutting it down to harvest it and stuff like that. And that got a lot of people.
Oh my gosh.
It used to be that, then newspapers, then they were creating full 7-minute Zelda fake. That's how we've evolved.
Look it up.
I think I saw somewhere too that like, I don't know how long ago it was, but they had, Titanfall said that Optimus Prime was coming to Titanfall.
Oh my god.
I do remember that one too. That would have been cool.
Well, that's it for the old tweet corner. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeffrey, for submitting your questions, and I hope you are now satisfied that we read your ChatGPT ones. And if not, too bad.
Yeah.
If you, dear listener, feel like you have something you think we should answer, send it our way. You can send it over to our Facebook or Twitter at CGY Podcast. Use the hashtag Tweet Corner, and we will read it on the next episode we record. And along with sending us some questions, make sure you spread the word about us in general. Tell your friends, tell your family. We are on every podcast hosting platform at this point, I believe. Podbean, Google's podcast thing, Spotify, iTunes, like you name it, we're there. So go tell some people who need some good times to listen to that we're here for them. But as always, we end every episode with a shower thought from Reddit. This week's comes from user. Oh no, I lost it. This week's comes from user John the Grey Lord. Gen Z will eventually be nostalgic for the sound of cars starting.
Oh, boy.
And that is going to do it for episode 148 of Come Get Your Podcast. I'm your host, Adam.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm also Ron Burgundy.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm Ron Burgundy.